You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The final hour of the Monday edition of The Rob Brown Show goes now. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Melonzo, and you, buddy. Be a part of the show, 844-326-3663. If you want to, you can text that number. It is the number to the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. You can call that number and get on the air if you want to, 844-326-3663. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, tweet Lonzo at Lonzo1Word, tweet everybody up in the hizzle at The Fan Upstate if you wish to go in that direction. We'd love to have you there as well. You can also join our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Fan Upstate on Twitter. Search and subscribe and like and smash the follow button and all those other things that you need to smash, do, like, and say to be a part of the broadcast. You can also, if you got something more long format, don't want to come on the air, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com if you want to drop me a line. Shout out to the 2024-25 Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year Award winner, Chris Miller, showing up in the chat this morning. Good morning to you, as Chris, as well, and congrats on... At this point, is your trophy cabinet just... The whole house. It's just a cabinet at this point.
There's nothing wrong with having a crystal wall. I mean, you know,
yeah,
wall full of the crystal.
Yeah, I'm telling you. My man, rack it up. And of course, congratulations to our colleagues, comrades, partners, and in arms, wire to wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel, as Cole Bryan and Kerosene went over there and picked up the Merit Award for, listen, as I've said personally a number of times, you come and check it a second. To the Tom Brady of local sports talk radio, Chris Miller. You done all right, kid. So congrats to the boys.
By the way, I am not going to have this defeatist attitude. We had this discussion earlier. Chris Miller can be beat. He is a man. He's not a machine. He can be beat.
He does bleed. Congrats, Chris, and congrats.
Hopefully you don't bleed because, I mean, you know, we want you to have a good day. So yeah.
I found this chart from Gridiron Gridlock on Instagram. Now, especially this close to football, these types of post whatever would not encourage a segment out of me. But this one did. This one did. I got a reaction, and I spent far longer than I'm proud to acknowledge yesterday really evaluating if these quarterback power rankings are correct or not. Now, the power rankings of these NFL quarterbacks, all of the starters, are not how they are as quarterbacks, Alonzo. In fact, I want you to retract your nope, because you are going to dig this. This is a tier ranking of all projected definite starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Tier as in like a cake.
As in tier.
Not right. As things that fall out of your eyes.
Correct. A tiered list of all known projected starting week one quarterbacks and their ability to win a fist fight.
You mean like an actual, like
yeah.
Oh, crap, he's ready to go, kind of. Okay.
Yeah,
all
right. Like put your hair up and square up fist fight.
Okay.
Here are the tier rankings. Tier number one, I would confidently back them. There are four quarterbacks in this tier. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, Baker Mayfield.
All right, I agree with two of them.
I'm going to say you agree with Hurts and Mayfield.
Yes.
Okay. Hurts because he could Leonidas Spartan kick you through a wall.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
That dude would put boot to ass and remove ass. That man can squat a Buick. Yeah. Like, there's power in them hips. He puts the max in gluteus maximus. I don't have an issue with him.
And Baker is just crazy. I mean, he planted flags. He's done things. That crazy don't go away.
Baker planted a flag and was ready to fight 77,000 people at one point. And I'm not sure he wouldn't have won that fight.
Oh, come on.
Richardson, I'm up in the air about. Because there's parts of Anthony Richardson that I think is certified G. However, man's gotten banged up a lot. He's been hurt a lot. I wonder if the jaw's not made of a little bit of glass, A. And B, I wonder when bleep hit fan, if the mentality of win the fight wouldn't break down a little bit. I wonder if Josh Allen is removed off of the list of I would confidently back them to win a fight because Lonzo is a world-class hater, or if you have a genuine argument.
I think he is on this list because of his fans, not him. His fans will fight anybody and probably got a good shot at winning, but I don't see him as a likes-to-fight guy. He's going to have reach and things like that. He's not built like a fighter. Those other guys, Jalen Hurts, built like he could fight. Same with Baker, built like he could fight. I don't think Josh Allen is built that way.
Josh Allen's like 6'5", 240. Josh Allen dwarfs everyone
it's not
in
about,
this building.
It's not about height. It's about thickness, about you know, chest thickness and size of arms.
All right, hot take then. Josh Allen's the most physically run game quarterback in the NFL. There is no one in the NFL quarterback who runs tougher than Josh Allen.
By the way, some would say that Lamar does, but I get what you're saying. Josh Allen runs tough, but running tough means he's just going to run away tough.
No, not fight.
No,
I think Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels are the only two quarterbacks who make me nervous when they run because they're running into contact.
I would take Joe Burrow in a fight any day over Josh Allen.
All right. Tier number two. Scrappy guys who could be sneaky good fighters. They've got Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Kyler Murray as scrappy guys who could be sneaky good fighters.
The scrappy thing. Yeah. It's just okay. No. I mean, in every group, that really short guy is the guy with the biggest mouth, but also the one who doesn't fight. So you need to take Kyler out of there.
See, I understand that, and I know that guy. I know that prototype. I'm not saying it's not a prototype. There is also, every now and then, that one undersized dude who has had to be a good fighter because they get themselves into it. And like we've got a guy in my frat bro group of friends that are still in our group text. We got a dude in our frat bro group of friends who goes about 5'6". We call him Tweak because he reminds us of the South Park character. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you threw out some of the boys, that guy I would be willing to bet would take down a number of bigger dudes because there's just... He's just that bite the ankle till the foot comes off kind of dude. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think Kyler Murray's in that group. I might drop him down a tier or two. I'll tell you what the next few are. Drake May, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, no issue with any of them. Like, Lamar's a maybe borderline. I think Jaden Daniels and Drake May both absolutely go there.
Here's the problem with Lamar. Lamar's too cool. No one's ever going to want to fight him. I mean, when you have a cool factor, you know those guys
this isn't so cool. This isn't most likely. This is a
if they had
football
to fight.
Genie puts him in it. You're in a fight.
All right.
It's not an option.
All right. You're in a fight.
How's he going to do?
Kyler needs to be in the last tier. And I'm reaching height and other things come into play for me.
World-class hater. Tier number three. Would use their experience and IQ to pull off the upset. So they're going as a dog, but they can pull an upset. This is the most inclusive tier. Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith, Matt Stafford, Joey Burrow, Bo Nix, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy on this list.
All right. I don't know about Brock Purdy. He's not. That dude looks like he's never been in a fight in his life. He looks like rich kid frat bro, never had to do anything because he.
All
got,
right, if you're putting that on Brock people, Purdy, you're putting that on Brock Purdy, you better damn well put it on Joe Burrow too.
Here's the thing.
That's the most frat boy looking dude I've ever seen in my life.
Here's the thing with Joe Burrow. He's had to deal with looking like Macaulay Culkin his entire life, which means he's had to fight his entire life because everyone wants to beat up Macaulay Culkin.
Who wants to beat up Macaulay Culkin?
Other kids want to beat up Macaulay Culkin because he's famous.
I don't know anybody who dislikes Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, neither do I because he's a wrestling fan, which makes him amazing. But as kids, he probably looked more like Macaulay Culkin and probably had to deal with more crap. I'm just saying. So I'm gonna go with Joe Burrow. Needs to go up, not down.
Joe Burrow. I get the vibe from Joe Burrow that he's one of those dudes that
Dude, he's Batman. I mean, he's
no, he never bought that thing, by the way.
Yeah, well,
because his house got robbed.
He was going to. Yeah.
Joe Burrow strikes me as that dude that nobody ever has had a reason to want to fight Joe Burrow. He's cool, man. I finally got around to starting to watch the season 2 of Quarterback on Netflix. And Joe is featured in episode number 1, and they're going through his rehab to be ready for last season. And he's in his house, and he's the most chill, laid back dude in the game. And they go to him and they're like, "What are you doing to get ready?" And he says, "Well, you know, it was my wrist that was injured, and to get back my flexibility and coordination and get my hand ready, I'm teaching myself how to play piano because that's all about wrist movement, finger movement, coordination, whatever." And they said, "Oh, are you getting lessons?" And he goes, "No, I like to watch YouTube. I'm just watching a bunch of YouTube videos." And I'm like, "Hey, me too. And you love fossils? What a dude. What a guy. Love this guy."
Also, there's some frugality in there because he doesn't want to pay for lessons. I mean, you know.
Well, he's got a $22,000 baby grand piano in his house that he bought for this. Yeah, so, maybe not that.
Well, no, you don't want anyone touching that but you. So, I mean.
I'm going to go with.
Did they actually show him playing the piano?
Yeah.
Is he any good?
He's no good, but he's learning. He's better than I am.
What was he playing? Do you remember?
I know. It's just some classical song.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, he's like, "I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, I taught myself," and he's like, free. He's definitely a dude that you would think took some lessons.
Be on there playing Billy Joel or something.
No, it's just some generic learning classical song, but he's pretty good at it. I'm going to go
with some Coldplay.
Hot take. I don't think it's disrespectful. Find out. I don't think Patrick Mahomes won a fight. I don't think he wins a fight. He has gotten, to me, all scrap on the football field. He does not strike me for a second as a guy who's got bar fight scrap in him.
I was going to defend that? I agree with you. He should be on the bottom of the list.
Bottom tier.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
Bottom tier for Mahomes.
I don't even think that's disrespectful.
Tier four could land a punch or two, but they're lovers, not fighters. Here's that list. Dak Prescott, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Russell Wilson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young. I don't think, I have one issue with this list. Dak Prescott played his football down in Mississippi. I bet you Dak's got some punch. I'm not saying he's going tier one. I think I would put him into that scrappy guy conversation. Not that Dak's scrappy, he's thick. But outside of that, I don't really think I have an issue with this list. I might can move Justin Herbert down a little bit. He's probably a little bit too California golden boy for me.
Yeah, see, I might move CJ Stroud up one.
CJ Stroud up to would use experience and IQ or could be sneaky good?
It could be sneaky good. I just, he's got that, I mean, that edge to him when he needs it. I don't know if you've seen him or heard him when he's a little ticked off. I think maybe CJ Stroud moves up a little.
You know what? I don't push back on that one. I agree with that one. I think CJ Stroud in the scrappy guy could be a sneaky good fighter list is fine. I would move Russell Wilson down. I think like Mahomes, I don't think there's a scrap of fight. When I say fight, I mean fist fight. I don't think there's a scrap of fist fight in Russell Wilson. I think that dude's way too plastic, way too fake to think he's a fist fighter.
I would have agreed until I saw where he was yesterday. And when I saw where he was yesterday, like near the front row of watching SummerSlam, makes me think that maybe he at least get in there and try some stuff. Everyone who goes to wrestling thinks they can fight.
Mm.
Yep. Come on.
Mm.
Come on.
I think we all think we can wrestle.
By the way.
Not fight. I'm talking bar fight. I'm not talking about camp. Right. I'm talking about punching each other in the face bar fight.
Right. I can clothesline someone.
I'm going to tell you straight up. I've been around enough of them. This is why what wrestling move could be used in a bar fight conversation is fun. I am telling you for a fact, you are not clotheslining somebody in a bar fight. That will not work in a bar fight. I've been around a lot of them. That's not working.
You will if they don't see you.
That's a cheap shot, and you're a disgusting piece of crap.
It's also a bar fight. I mean, so you're expecting fair play? All right, let's square off and look at each other in the eye and shake each other's hand and go, good luck, man. No, that's not how that works.
I am also telling you, a clothesline with the hand extended is not...
What do you mean with the hand extended?
With the arm out.
No, it's one of these.
That's not a clothesline.
A clothesline.
A clothesline is a line. It's the arm out.
All right, Rob, you stand over there and let me come and hit you right here with this.
That's not a clothesline.
It is a clothesline.
All right, technicality of the move aside. That's not, I don't care how you are. That's not generating enough force to take a dude down in a bar fight.
I've never seen you be so wrong as you are about clothesline.
One of us has been in bars and wrestled. One of us ain't.
Here's the
other
thing.
How many bar fights you been around? I've been around a lot.
Designated driver. And I've told you this a bunch of times. You just automatically assume because I don't drink that I haven't been around people who do drink and also wanted to fight a bunch.
And finally, our final tier. Would fold like a lawn chair... or they're a complete wild card. Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr. I'm going to keep it a buck. I think this might be the only tier that I don't have any problems with.
All right. Maybe Sam Darnold. And here's the reason why. Punchable face. And when you got punchable face, you've been punched a lot. Eventually, you're like, heck with this. I'm fighting back. So out of all those guys, maybe out of every quarterback that you've mentioned, Sam Darnold has the most punchable face.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably fair. I think there would be some people that would argue.
Maybe Baker you throw in there, but it's just because of attitude.
See, I don't think Baker has a punchable face.
As far as punchable face, it's him and Herbert.
Punchable face to me insinuates that you look at a guy's face and you go, you just go, that guy sucks.
All right,
I don't even know
him.
That guy
thing.
Sucks.
I think that's also a perception thing. It's who I think is punchable and who you think is punchable may be different. Anyone who looks like a frat boy, I mean, rich frat boy, could have been a villain in an 80s movie. That's the guy I want to punch.
I'm putting Joe Burrow in that group. And you know me, I love Joe Burrow. I love Joey B. He is the coolest guy in the league to me. I love Joey B. And Brock Purdy. I don't love Brock Purdy like I love Joe Burrow. Yeah. Straight up bro crush on Joe Burrow.
You've mentioned the guys who are definitely that guy,
but
though.
Those are definitely those guys. That being said, I don't see that. I see the punchable
face.
And
I guess you could probably put Russell Wilson in with those guys, too.
Yeah, but Russell feels like, to some degree, he's kind of earned the punchable face just by being Russell Wilson. The rest of these guys, I don't have an issue. I'm pulling for Caleb Williams. I get it. Tua Tagovailoa, if you breathe on his head too much, you might knock him out. Sunshine, I'm pulling for TL16. But Sunshine doesn't look like a guy that can go. So of all the guys on the list, Trevor looks like the dude that would be like, oh, you want to go, bro? And then would turn around to his gaggle of buddies and be like, get that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. TL 100% has that 80s movie bad guy vibe to him, without a doubt. J.J. McCarthy, J.J. feels like maybe he can scrap a little bit. I just don't know yet.
Yeah, he played at Michigan. They're all punks.
I got no read on Michael Penix Jr. None at all. All right, who's too high? Who's too low of this year's starting quarterbacks on the they'll win a fight power rankings? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Luka Doncic signed a 3-year, $156 million extension with the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday. It is the maximum amount that, being a new Laker, he was under the current collective bargaining agreement allowed to make. It also opens him up for next offseason, a season in which he could have become an unrestricted free agent, as his now old contract was up next offseason, prevents him from doing so, and in the process opens him up to be eligible for a 5-year max extension of north of $350 million, which would theoretically would have recouped the money that he would have been paid by the Dallas Mavericks this year, but they didn't have to pay him because they traded him. This, to me, makes next year's LA Lakers, even if you do not like or care about the Lakers, this makes them a very interesting story to me. And here's why. The Lakers now, by signing Luka to this contract, in my opinion, are now Luka Doncic's team. It is not a question mark anymore. It is now Luka Doncic's basketball team. And the reason why that it is Luka Doncic's basketball team is they have elected to pay this guy every dollar that they could pay him, and that comes along with, according to reports out of LA, effectively a promise, a handshake deal, that they will re-sign him to a new max contract extension next year. Ordinarily, when a guy gets a max contract, he's going to play for at least 3 years on it before he is re-upped to the next max contract. But the report is that, handshake agreement, they will give him another max contract extension next year. This is also interesting because of the question marks about the future of LeBron James. LeBron James coming back to the Lakers this year, but you will remember a story a couple of weeks ago when all of the will the Lakers trade LeBron stuff came out. There was an announcement about LeBron James that did not come from the Lakers. It did not come from LeBron James. The only party involved that said anything about it was LeBron's agent, Rich Paul. And I brought that up at the time, and I said, you know, this is very interesting because LeBron James loves to talk about LeBron James when possible, whether it's on social media, whether it's on podcast. We talked about this a number of times because LeBron was on like 4 podcasts dramatically over the past couple of weeks. He was on the pod with Steve Nash and Kevin Durant. He was on his own. There were like two or three others. He was on McAfee's show during the course of the year last year. And the fact that he had nothing to say, I asked the question. And again, I try not to get terribly caught up in and carried away with drama of players and teams. Now, there are times that you have to because it becomes a running storyline. But I try not to get overly carried away in player and team drama. But I do think it was fair to talk about, to ask the question, is this unavoidable drama for the Lakers? Now I look and I say, it almost kind of feels like it has to be. Because it feels to me like next season, this upcoming season, for the first time in the 21 seasons that LeBron James has played, will play in the National Basketball Association, this feels genuinely like the first time like LeBron James is on somebody else's team and not the other way around. And the question mark that I have, which I think turns into the storyline for this team this year, is he good with that? Does he, as a 41-year-old player in the NBA, as a soon-to-be 21-year veteran in the NBA, as a guy who, from the moment he was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, through his spots in or his stops in Miami, Cleveland, Los Angeles, has always been the marquee, has always been the poster boy, has always been the best player and primary focus of his team. Is he going to be okay not handing that mantle over to Luka Doncic? But the Lakers, I think, taking that handle from him and handing it over to Luka Doncic. And I'm not saying the answer is no, and this is going to be a problem. I'm not saying the answer is no, and we are going to have some totes drama in Los Angeles, California. I'm saying I don't know what the answer is. Because LeBron James has, through his entire 20 years, served in a certain role and capacity. And I think for any of us, if we did something for 20 years and then suddenly got told, hey, we are changing everything about your role. For a lot of guys, they would be unable to adapt and they would be walked off. A lot of guys would do their best to adapt, but would be effectively incapable of doing so. A very small percentage of people would be able to successfully adapt to that. I wonder where he falls on that spectrum. And I wonder where he falls on that spectrum because the Lakers, by handing out this contract, by drafting the guys that they were able to draft, with the draft picks that they did not have to send to Dallas, which is only one of them, but there's only two rounds in the NBA draft. With the acquisition of DeAndre Ayton, so they have a legitimate five this year, not a couple of young guys that just haven't panned out yet. Not that DeAndre Ayton's like a top four center in the league, but there are certainly worse options that they could have ended up with. By making the moves that they've made, it does to some degree feel as if the Lakers believe that they are going to be capable of contending next year. And I don't think it's unfair. Again, what happened in the playoffs against Minnesota to me this season was caused directly by the fact that they didn't have a five. They made Rudy Gobert look like prime Kareem.
I believe that if that trade would have happened earlier. If they would have started the year out with Luka and LeBron together, they would have noticed that there were some needs that they needed to pick up, would have picked those things up by the end of the season before the playoffs, and they would have went further.
It's a possibility.
We're going to find out this year coming up, but I mean, they didn't have a long enough time to play together to get the kind of gelling that they should this year.
I think that is a very fair take.
Although they did try to get a center, and remember, it fell through.
It did. They thought they had the kid out of Charlotte. Obviously, that fell apart. They ended up just kind of having to roll with who they had to roll with, Jackson Hayes, et cetera. It didn't work out. I honestly think the reason that it did not work this year in the playoffs and Minnesota handed it to them was because they didn't have a five. And as mentioned, when it came down to it, they made Rudy Gobert look like he was the best offensive big man in the world. And we all know, not only is he not, he's very, very, very far from it. So, they seem to be in. But they will still need, even at 41 years of age, they will still need LeBron to be LeBron, to be as good of a player as he can be. And the question mark for me is, if Luka is indeed handed the reins, if Luka is indeed given control of the team this year, if the Lakers say, hey, you're the guy, you're our guy, it's your team now, and they say that too in front of whatever, LeBron James, does he acquiesce? Does he back off? Does he go, okay, you're right, this is his squad now, I'm going to fill the reserve role? Or does he look at this and say, no, bro, that's not why I came here. That's not what I signed up for. I am not here to be a role guy. I'm not here to be a backup guy. I'm here to be the guy. I don't know what the answer to that is. So this team just went from a team that could be interesting because they are with a full year to play around Luka. And oh, by the way, Luka Doncic clearly setting up to go on the Luka Doncic 2025 U Dallas tour. I think they should be a powerhouse team. I think they should be, at the very least, a top of the play-in team. Realistically, I think they should be a team that is contending to win the West this year. But if they indeed, for sure and for real, were to end up handing the mantle of Laker-in-chief to Luka Doncic, as it appears that they are and will LeBron be comfortable getting the hell out of the way, letting Luka be the guy and be a reserve guy for him, or will they be pushback that creates a world where they're just not on the same page? I think it's a fair question to ask. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Whatever you want to get to on the way out, we get to it next in the final segment of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's the number to get on the show. It's the number to text the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line, 844-326-3663. Kev, kind enough to hold through the break, wants to talk a little bit about his L.A. Lakers before we get to our last few topics and call it a day. Kev, welcome back, big fella. Good to have you.
My dudes, man. What's happening?
You're listening to it, brother.
Go. Hey, man, let me tell you something. We can talk good about what Luka's doing and being on the front of the magazine and LeBron 21st season. We are not going anywhere until we get consistent center play. Like, we can get everybody we want to get. Lakers is history. It's known. Center play. Showing out. Throwing shots in the third row. 30 points, 15 bounds. You got to go get that. 2020, we had that. Ever since then, we have not had it. Nowhere near it. So, in like, point guard play, center play, that's big for us. LeBron can't play that no more. He can't be everywhere all game long. He need to almost come off the bench and find us some consistency. And then we can go in the playoffs and he can release and may get it, may at least play for a chip his last year, last 1 or 2 years, one of them. But until we get center play, we can cancel life.
DeAndre Ayton, not the guy you think can get there?
He may do all right. Unless, like I said, unless he's been put up in a stable somewhere and he finally finna come out the stable and get loose, I don't see it.
Fair enough. I listen, I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. I think that Luka at the you know, kind of power guard, power point guard spot, LeBron on right. the swing. That's what I said when you guys picked up Luka. That was my take. I think you put LeBron back where he needs to be specifically at this point in his career. That is at the kind of power slash position. Give him the opportunity to play off ball. Give the opportunity for other guys to open up the floor for him, then swing it to him and let him do what he does. But that does rely on having a five that somebody's afraid of. And with Rudy Gobert, and again, like I know I was talking about how they made Rudy look on offense in that series last year.
Right.
The reality of the situation is, regardless of your take on Rudy Gobert, he is the best defensive big man in the game. So if I've got him down there, and you don't have a guy at the five who's a threat with the basketball, if I'm the T-Wolves, I'm like, yo, throw everybody wherever the ball is, because unless they put three in the box, Rudy's got this on lockdown. Problem is, right. There's a lot of good defensive centers this year. If you don't have a threat at the five, man, I could trot out Iverson, Jordan, Pippen, it doesn't matter. You're not winning any games.
Right. We couldn't stop Minnesota from slashing to the rim last year. We got to stop that, man. You need two centers, a four and a five down there. You need a Twin Towers back. Some type of way, you need somebody who can protect this rim, man, and make people scared to come down there and get up and dunk and all that. You got to have. Until then, like I say, maybe second round this year. But to get back where we need to be, we got to get tough down low again.
Not wrong. Kev, appreciate it, brother. Good to talk to you. Welcome back. Welcome anytime. 844-326-3663. All right, a couple of stories I wanted to get out of the way before we get out of the way for the day. Zoe, I just sent something to your DMs that I'm going to have you go look at while I talk about it and get set up for the take. The Associated Press sent out a tweet just a little while ago. Robot teams from China and other countries are preparing for the inaugural World Humanoid Robot Games, which are scheduled to take place between August 14th through 17th in Beijing. 30 robot teams have been registered to play in the World Humanoid Robot Games soccer tournament, according to the organizers. 30 international teams were invited to build humanoid robots and then program them to get on the pitch and play footy against each other. And we will hand out a Robot World Cup, I guess, champion. And as I watch this video, because it's not exactly like they're going to be threatening Messi's job.
I've been seeing this for a while. A bunch of this stuff was posting last week. Them falling down is hilarious. But I hate to interrupt. This might be the only chance that the U.S. ever has of winning a World Cup. So this is good news for us.
I'd like to congratulate Lonzo because I brought this story up to aggravate him, and instead what happened is he aggravated me. Well done. I want you to know, and this is not a joke. God, I hope this is on YouTube because I'm going to watch every match.
Are you kidding me? I'll watch it too.
Every match.
The question is, does America import a European person to program our players so we could actually win?
That's a great question. It's a great question. It is also a, if this becomes a thing, and by the way, it 1,000% is. If this becomes a thing.
We've all seen cartoons and things like that where the robots are doing all this stuff. Of course it's going to be a thing.
I think it is. If this becomes a thing, here's the next question. Historically, the arms and tech races that have taken place around the world are largely won by the United States because we have historically brought in international talent to both be educated by us and to educate us in the ways of the world. As we have talked about before, a large chunk of the atomic race to get to the bomb first, to end World War II, a lot of that was only successful because we brought in Nazi scientists and said, look, if you will get us to where we need to be able to end this world war, we will give you some level of immunity from what you did. Like, that is historically where it's been. Are we there still? Is this something that we will be willing to say? The United States has always been a place that is welcoming and open to talent from around the world to come here and make us better by helping make them better. Is this something we're going to put together top men to be able to build the world's greatest soccer team that's made of robots? I hope so.
I just hope that our team's aggressive and well-conditioned and is able to get up on their own when they get knocked out.
I want bloodthirsty robots.
Absolutely.
Bloodthirsty robots. All right? Here's what I need. I need you to take AI. I need you to filter into that AI. Like, have it watch, not the game. I need you to send a camera crew to, like, LSU, Alabama on a Saturday night in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. After all the Tigers fans are good and liquored up, I need you to take 1,000 hours of that attitude, that mentality. I need you to feed it into AI, and I need you to tell the robot computers, we want you to learn and understand and get this level of absolute psychopathy, and I want you to take it out on Team France, Germany, Italy, China. I want you to go decimate them.
Here's the thing. All right, so you're playing the theme from China or somewhere else, and then suddenly you hear America's theme. And out comes a team full of Terminators without the Arnold skin on them. Ready to go, ready to play, ready to win the World Cup.
The walkout music is intense. Have one of the robots come out, but, like, instead of arms, he's got flamethrowers. Have one of the robots come out instead of a robot. He, like transformers into a monster truck, starts hauling ass, doing donuts around the field.
As long as the Japanese team doesn't come out with those new Japanese robots that look like humans, and they have and they're all like anime women that walk. I don't know if you
I have not seen this.
Oh, you should see how real the and they've created living skin already. So okay.
Have one of the robots come out, and instead of arms, he has hot dog and t-shirt cannons, shooting them into the crowd. Like, oh, this is the potential's here is amazing. Is amazing. I can't wait.
I just want to win. So I'm willing to deal with Terminators and the destruction of all mankind as long as we win the World Cup first.
Yeah. I mean, if the AI robot takeover is going to happen, let it start with an American gold medal in the first ever Robot World Cup.
There we go.
We are here for robot victory and domination. If they dominate us later, it's a sacrifice we may have to make.
That's fine. We get to hang that banner first. I mean, you know, and also, I guess it would be an actual cup. So
25 years from now, when the world is a nuclear winter wasteland, and we're all sheltered around a fire out there hunting radioactive saber-toothed tigers for sport, we will gather around said campfire and say, the world's falling apart. It's nothing but death and destruction. And we are Robot World Cup champions.
A little dramatic, but hey, I was there for it. All right, the first thing that's X-ing is someone you're familiar with, Sabrina Carpenter.
I am familiar with Sabrina Carpenter. She's a wonderful pop artist, if that's your bag, if that's your thing. I have no idea why she's trending, though.
At Lollapalooza, she brought out Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire sang my wedding reception song, by the way.
Yeah, which is why another reason why I put this on the list.
Love
because
that.
I thought you'd be interested in checking that out.
Will
to
they
see.
Play?
I do believe they played September, and I think they played something else.
Hell yeah.
What the other thing is.
We got married on September 21st, so that's why it was our wedding song. For those of you going, what the hell, why Earth, Wind, and Fire? That's why.
All right. The next thing that's Xing, this very controversial, especially for one Rob Brown, next thing is Xing is Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip's gross. All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring the ire down on those of you who love Miracle Whip. It's just not good. There's just no world in which, if you are going to eat Miracle Whip, just like run an extra mile and eat mayo. They make fat-free mayo. It's still not great for you, but fat-free mayo is better than Miracle Whip. Why is that a thing?
The debate has been brought up again. There are four different brands of mayonnaise, and people are picking. And there are people who love Miracle Whip and people who want to catch it on fire.
I will agree with that. Yeah. I will agree. It is absolutely one of the most polarizing foods out there. There is nobody.
It was Hellman's Dukes, Miracle Whip, and some other brand I'd never heard of.
Well, we all know the winner's Dukes. But I don't know that there is a more polarizing food than Miracle Whip. Because with everything else, it's like most people are going to be like, yeah, take it or leave it. I get mayo. Yeah, I prefer Dukes. But like if they're like, is Hellman's? All right, sure, fine. Is Miracle Whip okay? Is a punch in the nose okay? Because that's what's going to happen if you put Miracle Whip on my sandwich.
Still,
there's nobody who's still, like, meh, on Miracle Whip.
I don't care. It's mayonnaise. All right.
That's the problem. Yeah. It's not.
Okay, all right, fine.
If it was mayonnaise, what would they call it? Not Miracle Whip.
Okay.
Nobody
fine.
Says, would you like some Miracle Whip mayo?
All right.
No, because it's not mayo.
I did look it up, and it's classified as a salad dressing. So, I mean, you know, if you want salad dressing on your burger.
Do you know why? Because it's not mayo.
Okay. The next thing that's Xing is Lonnie Anderson.
It's mayo simulating cream at the best.
Do you know who Lonnie Anderson is?
I feel like the name's very familiar, and I should, and I'm going to be all embarrassed right. that I don't. She's an actress?
She was an actress. She passed away. She was in WKRP in Cincinnati, which, as a radio person, you have to at least watch an episode.
Yeah,
I've watched a lot of episodes.
Yeah. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Yeah, she was also married to Burt Reynolds at one point. But she's very, very famous. For people of my generation, I guess.
Very nice. Yes. I do not, outside of that show, unfamiliar, but sad day.
She was very pretty. I took a chance. All right, next thing that's Xing is Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar is back because after the absolute dumbest payoff in history of a wrestling storyline coming to its conclusion last night with John Cena's heel turn and then absolutely no reason for it. Face turn, Bork came out.
You're never happy. That's
dude. Yeah. That's, were you happy with how that worked out?
Here's the reason why. Because I kept waiting for the Cody turn and it didn't happen, which means I was surprised, which is what they wanted you to do. They pushed a Cody turn the entire time.
Cool. When John came out on Friday and his whole promo was, I'm not a heel anymore because reasons. That was dumb as hell. I'm sorry. John made absolute diamonds out of horse crap after Dwayne screwed everything up. But the Friday Night SmackDown, I'm not a heel anymore.
By
why?
The way,
reasons.
If you wanted to, smack Dwayne in the mouth, you do this. Because it made everything that he did just, you know, ridiculous.
No, he made everything he did ridiculous.
Dwayne
all he had
did.
To do was show back up
Dwayne
and it would have been fine.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
He didn't, so they had to move on. And there's nothing more
Dwayne,
moving on like acting like everything you did was irrelevant.
They just retconned in the dumbest possible way.
All right, finally, the last thing that's Xing is Rhea Ripley, and not for the reason you think.
It doesn't matter what the reason is.
All right, the reason is, well, first of all, loser, as usual. The second of all, there's video of her picking up EO and carrying her all the way out of the arena after the match, and EO's laughing her butt off the whole way through. You should watch it. It's funny.
Rhea Ripley, loser at SummerSlam, winner of my heart. That's it for us. You'll have a grievance
really
here
hard
Monday.
To win your heart? I mean, I don't know.
No, the list is like my mother, my wife, and Rhea Ripley. And Blondie back in the day. Blondie was on that list early in my career.
Blondie.
Yeah, I think we all do. Hey, that's it for us. Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the back. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow. I'll punch you in the back. I might. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but way better than the last 10 seconds on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.